Today on Life Talk.
Unassailable, non-negotiable, absolute truth for everybody, in all times, in all cultures, forever until Christ returns. It's the truth. So whatever Jesus says is true about morals, ethics, money, eternity, heaven, hell, people, prayer, is our truth too.
You are listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious who are filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. Today's message is just for you. You can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Let's go ahead and get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Life Talk.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jeff Wickwire, and welcome to this edition of Life Talk. You know, we're living in a day of incredible confusion. There's a full-on attack against God's Word, God's moral standards, and the Christian faith itself. In a nutshell, there's an attack on God's truth as found in Scripture. Today in our series, What's in a Worldview?, I want to answer the question, where do you get your truth? In this hour of full-on, brazen attack against God's standards, Christians must resolve more than ever before to make the Bible their ultimate non-negotiable source of all truth. So let's get started with part two of today's message, Where Do You Get Your Truth?
Now, I want you to notice that Jesus did not say he came to bear witness to a truth. No, he didn't say that. Or to truth in general, he didn't say that either. He said, I came to bear witness to the truth. Now, that separates the truth he's talking about from common truth. He's talking about the truth, some kind of an ultimate truth, an exclusive, non-negotiable, unchanging, unassailable truth, a divine truth, a truth that doesn't change or bend or bow to the whims of men, a truth that remains the truth across generations, across cultures. If it was true 1,000 years ago, it's still true today. He came to bear witness to the truth, and he was born to die on the cross. Jesus said, I came to die on the cross is why I was born. And before I die on the cross, I came to bear witness to the truth. Now that tells us that there is an absolute truth. There's relative truth. In other words, it's true that today it's sunshiny and tomorrow it's raining. And so you can't say it's always going to be sunshiny. You can't make it an absolute because it's going to change. So the weather is relative. And we understand that. But there is truth that is biblical, that is absolute. It never changes. It doesn't care what we think. We are to acknowledge it and receive it and grow by it and be set free by it. I'm going to show that in just a minute. Now, I want you to hold that thought for a minute. Let me take us back to last time we were together when I talked to you about a worldview. Everybody listening to me today has a worldview. You've got a worldview right now. You've had a worldview your whole life. Now, it may have changed, but you have a worldview. A worldview is simply how you view the world and everything in it. Isn't that complicated? A worldview is how you view the world, what lens you see the world through. And your worldview is going to be only one of two kinds, a worldly worldview based on the beliefs and the values of this present world. Now, follow me carefully because this is on my heart like no other message to the body of Christ. If you were to say to me, what's the greatest need of the body of Christ, Jeff? I would say to you to have a biblical worldview. Because you can be saved and still have a worldly worldview. And that's why so many people don't have victory. They're not walking in victory in Christ. They're taken down by different habits and sins. They're not walking in the victory that Jesus bought for us because they have not had their minds renewed. See, your worldview is going to be either a worldly worldview or a biblical worldview. And if it's a worldly worldview, you see the world and life and all the important issues of life through the same lens the world does. So, he says we need to develop a worldview that is biblical. It's so important. Now listen carefully. Our worldview is so important because it decides how you view God, how you view man, yourself, life, spiritual things, morality, eternity, heaven and hell. All those things flow through the lens of your worldview. Your worldview has primarily been shaped heretofore, right now, sitting out there, and me, myself, the sum total of my worldview is the result of who has taught me through the years, who I've listened to, who had my ear, who had my respect, who had my attention, who I believe was telling me the truth. That has shaped my worldview. The lifestyle you choose to live, the moral decisions that you decide to make, what you do with the life that God has given you, how you understand your meaning and your purpose, who you've listened to, what you've read, what you've accepted as true. That's what gave you your worldview. The hundreds of decisions you make each and every day flow out of your worldview. So you're not going to act according to what you don't believe. Whatever you believe, that's how you're going to act and live. And furthermore, how you interpret and respond to the hot button issues of our day, abortion, same-sex relationships, gun control, socialism versus capitalism, racial issues, all of those things you see through whatever worldview you have sitting there today. How you interpret and respond to them, it's all going to be decided by your worldview. All your conclusions and responses to them will be decided after passing through the sifter of your worldview. Now, let me give you an example. Let's say that you learn that your very best friend has decided to move in with his or her love interest without getting married. Are you against it? Are you grieved over it? Are you okay with it? As long as they're happy? Your worldview will determine how you view it and how you respond to your friend. Your worldview. Let's say you have a single friend who has turned up pregnant. She has no steady job, her parents don't know about it, and the father has already moved on. She's alone. She tells you she's considering an abortion and wants your advice. Whether or not your worldview is biblical or worldly will decide your response and the kind of advice you give her. If your worldview is worldly, you're going to say, well, your happiness means more than the baby, so go ahead and get an abortion so you can stay happy. But if you've got a biblical worldview, you will say the baby's life is more important than your happiness because God cares more about our holiness than he does our happiness. Are you with me? But see, I see Christians all the time being hit with the major hot button issues of life. And I see many times they respond with a worldly worldview, a worldly response that is not rooted in Scripture. And that's why it's so important that we have a biblical worldview. Because folks, we're supposed to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. How can we be light if we look like everybody else? How can we be salty if we're just like the world? No, we're supposed to be different. This is not our home. God is our Father. The Bible is our book. Jesus is our Savior. We don't hold the same values. We don't hold the same truth. Can I have an amen today? Amen. See, this is why it's so important. What or who has your ear? Who holds your attention? Who you have allowed and are allowing to form and shape your opinions? Dr. Phil, Oprah, or the Word of God? Jesus told Pilate, watch this, all who love the truth recognize that what I say is true. Now follow me. In other words, if you truly love truth, Jesus will have your ear, your attention, your devotion, and he will be the one that shapes your world view. He will be the one. Now, last time we began talking about six foundation stones of a biblical worldview, and the first one was this, that if you have a biblical worldview, you definitely have the conviction that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Now, that is key to having a biblical worldview. If you don't have that worldview, you've got a worldly worldview right off the bat. You need to have your mind renewed. If you claim to be a believer, then you've got to come to the conclusion there is no other way to heaven but Jesus Christ. Buddha won't get you there. Muhammad won't get you there. Being a good person won't get you there. Hugging a tree won't get you there. Cleaning up the climate won't get you there. Only the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Christ will get us to heaven. And that's a biblical worldview. Amen? Amen. Now, let me look at a second foundation stone today, really actually two of them. And here's the first one, the conviction that Jesus and God's Word are where we get our truth. Jesus and God's Word are where we get our truth. Amen. It is the belief that whatever Jesus says is true. Remember, he said, I came to bear witness to the truth. So whatever he said, whatever he taught, was the truth. Unassailable, non-negotiable, absolute truth for everybody, in all times, in all cultures, forever until Christ returns. It's the truth. So whatever Jesus says is true about morals, ethics, money, eternity, heaven, hell, people, prayer, is our truth too. It's my truth. See, you know, the world is so competing with Jesus to get you to believe things that are not biblical, to get you to accept values that are not biblical or kingdom values. Every single day on TV, in the radio, what you read, who you talk to, this world is actively trying to affect the way you think and shape your worldview. And we're not to be conformed to the world. So, what is the option? Well, whatever Jesus says is true about all things. It's true. Can everybody say that with me? Whatever Jesus says about all things, it's true. And it's my truth. Amen. So if somebody comes along and tries to teach me something, and it happens every day, that goes against what Jesus said, it's not true. It's not true. Paul the Apostle was very clear about taking this stand. Look what he said. If anybody advocates a different doctrine, doctrine is teaching. It is what you believe about life and about God. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. And then he says to Christians, flee from these things, you man or woman of God.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in, or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Whatever doesn't line up with what Jesus said, we're to reject them and flee from them, because my worldview is going to be shaped by Jesus, not the world. Amen? I don't see things like the world. I don't see morals or ethics or anything, God or anything, like the world. Jesus himself was very, very clear about being the ultimate source of truth. What did he say? He looked at a crowd one day and he said, let me tell you something. I am the way. I am the truth. There's that phrase again. Not a truth. I don't just know the truth. I am the truth. I came to bear witness to the truth. I am the truth and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through me. He didn't just say he knew the truth. He said he was the truth, and everything he said was the truth. He's the opposite of the devil. How do you know the devil's lying if he's talking? Anything the devil says, it might be a half-truth, or it might be a total lie, but the devil never, ever, ever utters a truth. Jesus is the opposite. He never, ever, ever utters a lie. He tells the truth about all things. He'll never lie to you. Everything he said, you can bank on it, build your life on it, stake your life on it, and your eternal future on it. Because Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. God's truth, ultimate, non-negotiable, unchanging, eternal truth, is embodied in Jesus Christ. So whatever he says about life, that's my truth. Whatever he teaches me, that's my truth. Now we also note that while praying for his church in John 17, Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth. Now follow these words. Your word is truth. Now I want you to say that with me, would you? Your word is, if you have your Bible, hold it up. I should have brought one out with me. I've got it all written, but if you got a Bible, hold it up and wave it. Now I want you to know, you're holding in your hand the truth, the unvarnished truth, the truth of God. So I want you to hold it up again and say, this is the truth about all things. Follow me, church. That's the truth. Jesus said, your word is truth. So to develop a biblical worldview, we must not only view Jesus as our ultimate source of truth, but the Bible along with it. See, as soon as I get saved and you got saved, that Bible became my instruction manual for living. It became my truth. It became the book that is going to teach me how to live, how to walk, how to please God, how to view the world. I'm going to view it through the lens of the Bible. And every day I read the Bible so that I can even better view the world through the lens of the Bible. Do you know that when you begin to see life through the lens of the Bible, everything makes sense? All the suffering, the war, the bloodshed, the tumult, the way our planet is always rocked by trouble, all the hatred, all the murder, all the killing, everything, it all makes sense when you see it through the lens of the Bible. Because the Bible says that man fell into sin. And when he fell into sin, then he immediately became the enemy of God. And we do sinful things and we do terrible things. We do it because we have a fallen nature and fallen hearts. And we need a redeemer. And when I see the world, what the Bible says about creation, it all makes sense. I know that I'm not here because of evolution. I am not here because some amoeba in some distant sea trillions of years ago crawled out and grew legs and one day began to fly and then morphed into a monkey and then morphed into man. No, 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 no. You're not going to make a monkey out of me. I did not come from that. When I read what the Bible says, the Bible tells me in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when I see that, it all makes sense. Because what you see in creation is the handiwork of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament, that is the land, shows his artistic handiwork. Day unto day they utter speech. Night after night they show forth knowledge. There is not a voice nor language where their voice is not heard. They preach the reality of God. If you wonder if God is real, look at what he made. You know, you don't look at the Mona Lisa and say, wow, how long did it take for this to just happen? This frame, this beautiful painting, the faint smile. It must have taken trillions of years and all kinds of storms and unbelievable happenings and occurrences for this painting to finally appear. Shazam! No, the first thing you want to know when you look at the Mona Lisa is, who painted this? And when you look at the creation, the first thing you ought to say is, who did this? And the answer is, God did this. God did it. What the Bible says about creation, world history, the fall of man into sin, Noah's flood, the devil, God, the virgin birth, all are true, and they should shape our worldview. Amen? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, all of it, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. David said, all your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. All of it is relevant, life-changing, and true. You can trust the word of God. You can bank your life on the word of God. Amen? Now, last thing I want to talk about in closing is the effect that God's truth has on us. The effect. Jesus said to those who believed on him, if you hold to my teaching, if you receive my truth, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. Watch this. There's that the truth, his truth, and the truth will set you free. There's two kinds of imprisonment in the world, physical imprisonment and spiritual imprisonment. Physical imprisonment, we know what that is. You're in prison. You're in jail. You're locked up. You can't go and do what you want to do. You're locked up. That's physical imprisonment. But there's spiritual imprisonment. And that is when you are under the control of sin and Satan. And the Bible says that until you know Jesus Christ, you're spiritually imprisoned. So Jesus wasn't talking about being let out of jail physically. He said, you'll know my truth and the truth will set you free. He's talking about being set free from spiritual imprisonment. The Apostle Paul said, let me tell you what spiritual imprisonment is like. I don't understand myself at all. I'm quoting Paul. I don't understand myself at all. I really want to do what's right, but I can't. I do what I hate. I know perfectly well that what I'm doing is wrong, but I can't help myself. No matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. When I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. It's plain where the trouble is. Sin has me in its evil grasp. So I am spiritually imprisoned. And when Jesus said, you will know my truth and the truth will set you free, he was talking about setting you free from spiritual imprisonment, where the devil's power doesn't hold you, sin doesn't grip you, you are not under its sway, but you have been set free on the inside. So you can be in prison on the outside, but be set free on the inside, and you can be free physically, but all bound up inside. Real freedom. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. Free on the inside. That's the power of God's truth. I'm so glad today that the things I used to do, I don't have to do them anymore, that I can look sin in the face and say, no. By the power of God in me, I don't have to do what you're telling me to do. And I can say to Satan, get out of here in the name of Jesus. I don't have to obey you anymore. Because the truth shall make you free. Can we stand up and give the Lord a hand of praise? Amen. Amen. Come on. God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. How many of you are glad you've been set free? Seriously, free. How many of you can say, man, I used to be so bound up, but no more? Come on. Things used to have me, but no more. This lady who came up to me last week after the first service, she may be in here, and her husband was with her, and she said, Pastor Jeff, I was hooked on crack cocaine. I could not stop crack cocaine. That's a terrible addiction. And she said, I didn't know what I was going to do, and the husband looked at me and said, I was this close to walking out on her and leaving her because she went back and forth. She would get off it and go back into it, get off it and go back into it, hooked physically to something that spiritually enslaved her. And she said, then I heard about Celebrate Recovery, and that Celebrate Recovery taught Jesus Christ and how he can set you free. And I came to Celebrate Recovery, and I heard the principles of the Word of God. What she heard was the truth. And she said, I have been off crack cocaine now for over 14 months. And that's huge, folks. That's huge. I've been off crack cocaine 14 months and some change. And she said, I'm so thankful that Jesus set me free. See, I'm preaching to you a Christ that'll set you free on the inside. No longer enslaved. Amen. So when you, in closing, let me just say, a biblical worldview, the more you develop one, the freer you get. That's why it's so important. You'll progressively know the truth, and the truth will progressively more and more set you free.
We appreciate you listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear the message and to be inspired to put the teaching into practice. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online at our website to lifetalkradio.us. And be sure to save the web address in your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? It would really mean a lot to us. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a LifeTalk partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or online at lifetalkradio.us. 877-884-3111 or lifetalkradio.us. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to LifeTalk.